Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're always available to you online at npr.org/Bryant Park. A lot of good stuff there. I'm Allison Stewart.
And I'm Luke Burbank. Coming up, we'll be speaking with Padma Lakshmi. You may know her as an actress, a model, host of Top Chef. She is, as we speak, pouring ingredients out into cups so we can
making
smell
concoctions
the,
yeah, over there.
So we're going to enjoy that. First, though, we've got some news with Rachel Martin. Hi, Rachel.
This is NPR.
Hey, good morning, everyone. The average American family of four has paid out roughly $20,000 for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the total cost of both wars is about $1.6 trillion. That's what Democrats in Congress say. The report released yesterday by Congressional Democrats' Joint Economic Committee attempted to put a price tag on the two conflicts, including so-called hidden costs, like interest payments on money borrowed to pay for the wars, the cost of long-term health care for injured vets, and the cost of oil market disruptions. Democrats used the report to criticize President Bush's war strategy. The White House said the report was politically motivated. It's the latest tit-for-tat in the standoff between the Bush administration and Congress over war spending plans. Yesterday, President Bush vetoed the Democrats' domestic spending bill. In response, Democratic leaders in Congress threatened to withhold war funding unless the president agrees to begin to pull troops out of Iraq. The $606 billion bill includes funding for education, health, and labor programs. House Democratic leader Steny Hoyer tried to frame Bush's reasons for vetoing the bill.
He's saying there's too much being spent on American students, on American children for their health care, on communities for their investment in infrastructure, but we'll send $200 extra billion dollars this year to Baghdad and Kabul.
President Bush had his own explanation. Yesterday, he levied a counterattack, calling the Democratic bill financially reckless.
The majority was elected on a pledge of fiscal responsibility. So far, it's acting like a teenager with a new credit card.
Congress is expected to vote on a $50 billion measure for operations in Iraq and Afghanistan later this week. The bill would require Bush to start withdrawing troops immediately with the goal of ending combat by December 2008. And speaking of Iraq, the U.S. State Department is giving more time to volunteer for assignment for Foreign Service officers to volunteer for assignments in the war zone. State Department officials have said Foreign Service officers need to start signing up for Iraq to fill much-needed vacancies. If they don't volunteer, they could be forced to go, which has raised the ire of many career diplomats. NPR's Michelle Kellerman has more.
This was the week that State Department managers were supposed to start deciding which Foreign Service officers would have to go to Iraq to fill about 48 job positions there. But officials say that 25 Foreign Service officers have volunteered and have been approved in recent weeks, and the State Department plans to wait a bit longer because more are coming forward. The whole issue caused an uproar in the State Department. At a town hall meeting, one diplomat called a forced assignment in Baghdad a potential death sentence. A diplomat serving in Iraq responded in a blog, saying that officers took an oath to serve anywhere. And Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice reinforced that position in a cable this month to State Department employees.
That was NPR's Michelle Kellerman. Finally, a remembrance today. Author Ira Levin has died. He's the best-selling author who wrote Rosemary's Baby, which was then turned into an Oscar-winning movie starring Mia Farrow. Ira Levin died earlier this week at his home in Manhattan. Levin was known for his works of horror and suspense. His 1972 novel, The Stepford Wives, involved husbands in a Connecticut town replacing their wives with submissive robots. It was adapted by Hollywood twice, in 1975 and 2004. Levin was 78 years old. That's the news, and it's always online at npr.org.
This is NPR.
I want to be in there with all the treats.
I know. Can you see through? Rachel Martin is can look through our studio when we're with Padma Lakshmi, who has joined us this morning. You can talk, Padma. It's okay.
Hi.
Hi, Padma. Hi, thank you.
We're going to get to your segment in a minute. We just want to say she's an incredible trooper because you've been working your tail off and you're a little bit ill. So we won't keep you too long.
Maybe
so we
know a
you
little.
At least. But I'm so happy to be here. I love NPR. So, you know.
We appreciate it. And we're going to give
water,
you
chill out,
a
relax.
Couple
we'll
of
get
minutes.
To you in a second.
to